You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Got a crisp fall morning here. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Zach, I can comfortably wear jeans today.
Yeah, right?
It's very nice.
It is a crisp fall morning. I'm going to a pumpkin patch this weekend.
Look at you.
And like that to me, I was just like, oh man. All right, I guess summer's officially over.
We're here. Yep.
Yeah.
Like, fall is here.
It was like this disappointing, like, I'll go, but like... Don't be upset when I'm melancholy the entire time.
We were talking about before the show, my girlfriend just got a crock pot for her birthday.
The best.
It's so good. I never thought that kitchen appliances would get me excited.
Like when you hit adulthood.
If you talked to 14-year-old me and said, yeah, you know what you have new to play with? Yeah, it's a crock pot. Get excited. Here we go. It's not a new video game.
Nope.
It's not a new, you know, whatever. Like, it's a crock pot.
It's homemade pulled pork and chili. We can't wait.
But that's what makes fall
and
so
pot
good.
Pot roast.
That's what makes fall so good.
It's like my big thing with fall. I don't like when it gets colder, but I like the comfort food that I'm having more than summer food.
Oh, see, I like when it gets colder.
By an absurd amount.
Yesterday, the fact that I was able to lounge around the house in a hoodie and sweatpants made me so happy.
I almost wore sweatpants into this morning.
Yeah.
I was up and down about it. Then I was like, no, it's not Friday. Let's not do that.
Can't have a lazy day on a Wednesday.
That's what I'm saying. It's a Wednesday, even though I woke up this morning like with full intentions of it being a Thursday. It's fine. It is what it is. I'm like, I can't do
Tomorrow's
that.
Thursday.
Tomorrow's Thursday, but it hurts more when you're waking up going, like, man, I only got like one more day this week. And you're like, no, you don't. It's the middle of the week.
It's also a good feeling, too, because the Bills play at 1 o'clock this weekend. And it feels like fall. Like, I can't explain it, but... 1 o'clock games are the only games that I think of when I think of fall. And, like, honestly, if you ask me, the primetime games feel like winter. I know that the Bills have had three primetime games so far this year. Or two, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't look at a primetime night game and think, yeah, it's the summer. Or, yeah, it's fall. No, I look at that and I think of just, like, wintertime.
I am about done with the primetime games already.
Yeah.
Having three right in a row kind of wore on me.
Can the NFL start a fan survey of, like, hey, how many primetime games do you want your team to have this year? Like, how are you feeling?
See, I'm always like, good with, like, the five primetime games. Like, we're still a good team. I want my team to be out there the whole
time.
I'm a
big 4:30 guy. 4:30.
Okay.
Like,
those are good, too.
I like the afternoon ones, like the late afternoon. Because 1 o'clock's good. Like, that's fine.
That's peak.
That's peak. But there's something about that 4 o'clock kickoff that I'm like, yeah.
This is
nice. Because I can have, like 1 o'clock's, like, just after lunch. But 4 o'clock, right before dinner.
That's fair.
You could start eating dinner right before halftime.
Like, I've always looked at the 4:25, 4:30 window as, like, the Dallas Cowboys window.
Yeah. Or Detroit
always.
Lions.
Is that
driven at all by Thanksgiving? Like,
for me, though, it's always just like every time it seems like it.
Okay.
It's statistically not true, but it seems like all the time at 4:25, like, oh, and the Cowboys are on TV. it's always how it's played out. And so, like, for me, I always think of 4:25 as the Cowboys window.
Yeah.
And then you're right. For Thanksgiving, it's always the noon game, because I think it starts at noon, not 1.
Yeah.
On Thanksgiving is Detroit. And then the 4:25 game is always Dallas.
Right.
And then now we've added in the night game, which is always. Whatever. The Bills did the one night game that year in New Orleans for Thanksgiving. I hated it.
Yeah.
It was easily my least favorite.
Well, yeah, because you're fighting to stay awake because of the turkey. Like,
well,
you're just,
like,
so tired.
That's my one issue always with primetime games is the existential dread I feel at about like 6.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh my gosh, we're still waiting like 2 hours to go.
And I also think about it this way too. Like, imagine if we were a West Coast fan base.
I've had this.
Imagine how different it would be, because everything is based off of our time zone.
Yeah.
And 1 o'clock kickoffs.
In actuality, it's 10 in the morning.
It's drastically different over there. I mean, imagine tailgating for a game that starts at 10 in the morning.
Giddy up.
Like, that's.
Let's go.
That'd be such a different vibe.
You don't have the drive. You don't have the determination if you're not tailgating at 7:30 in the morning for a 10 o'clock kickoff.
I mean, people tailgate it at 7:30 in the morning
for a 1 o'clock kickoff.
People do that for a 8 o'clock kickoff.
Yeah.
Like,
So
if we're being honest,
I feel for Bills Mafia, it's not changing much.
No, I know, but it's just I've always thought about that of like how different would your life be as a fan if you lived in a different time zone, because it's such a different. And I saw a meme this morning from Bills backers of Italy.
Oh yeah,
and they were like, "What happened to him? Oh, he stayed up all night and watched the Bills game. Oh." That sucks.
And you think about it, you're like, yeah, he the game would start at like 4 a.m.
Right. Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. No, I have thought about it for like the West Coast, but it's more of like if you were an East Coast guy your entire life and then you go out to like LA for a job and you're like, yeah, now sports start way earlier for me. And all of a sudden I'm not complaining that games start at 8:30, because for me it starts at like 5:30, 6:30.
Right.
Like, I'm good.
And I think too about, you know, this coming weekend for the Sabres. They start at 1 o'clock on Friday, 10 a.m. on Saturday.
Yeah.
That's like Premier League games. That is so good. I love those times. Like,
that'll be a nice start, but then the very next week it's, I think, two straight 7 o'clock games. So
right back to Saturday.
Yeah, right back to where we're at.
I know, but I'm gonna take it when it's there.
Oh yeah, 100%. It's the same with Sabres After Dark, just in the opposite sense. Of like when it's there, it's like, ooh. Gonna be up till 1 a.m. watching the Sabres game.
Yeah, you might be. I won't, but you might be.
I might be.
Sabres After Dark, I love it, but after a game or two, I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
I'm good.
The novelty wears off really
right.
fast.
Unless they're like, you know, winning and destroying teams. Then it's fun still.
Even then, the novelty wears off pretty fast. I'll watch the highlights in the morning. 803-0550 is the number to call. Having a little bit of fun here to start. But a big conversation that has been going on, two things. Von Miller suspended for 4 games for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy. We'll get more on that with Sal Capaccio, who's going to join the show at 10:30. We're also expecting the first injury reports for the week. A number of guys to keep an eye on. Of course, Terrell Bernard, Taron Johnson, and Taylor Rapp. Rapp in concussion protocol. Johnson and Bernard have been up and down. We'll see on that. But also Khalil Shakir, who picked up an ankle injury on Sunday night. And it's kind of looking like it's going to be up and down day to day with Shakir. So we'll get kind of a first kind of picture on what that's going to be. Hopefully later today. And then also wide receiver talk. Devontae Adams didn't request a trade, but said he's preferring to be traded, which feels like I'm requesting a trade with extra steps.
Yeah, just come out and say it.
Just do it. And I've got a tweet up here from Adam Schefter. Two teams high on Devontae Adams' wish lists for places to land, if not at the very top, are the Jets and Saints. Adams ideally would like to play with the quarterbacks he knows. Jets have former teammate Aaron Rodgers. Saints have former teammate Derek Carr.
Man, that's interesting.
I would love the Saints, actually.
I would.
You asked me
really
a month ago,
that.
I'd be like, why'd you go to the Saints? Like, I get Derek Carr, but like we've been there, done this. Now
right,
I'm like, ooh, wait a second. But as a Chris Olave fantasy owner, I don't love it. But
well, the question then becomes, what do the Saints have to give up?
Yeah.
Because the Raiders have said that the starting conversation is a second round pick, which is a lot.
Yeah.
But I would imagine they're going to want more than just a second-round pick. Because, I mean, if you think about it, especially if you're looking at a team like New Orleans, and you could even say this about the Jets, too, and some other teams, but specifically New Orleans, I feel like there might be some depth guys there that are younger that you could get in this trade if you're the Raiders.
Potentially, yeah.
I mean, it's a big piece. Granted, Adams is probably going to be a rental for 1 year. He's not going to be able to stick around after the next season, but it depends on your team's cap situation. The Saints may be in a different situation than the Bills, but if you're looking at Adams for the Bills, that's going to be a tight, tight money crunch.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be tricky to make that work.
Is Adams a rental just for this year?
I thought
it was just he didn't have guaranteed money after this year.
Well, I saw people talking about him as a rental in terms of, you know, what he could offer you based on his salary cap, too.
Okay.
But I don't know. I mean, if he's signed for 2 years, he's not a rental.
Right? Yeah, I mean, you do have a potential out in 2025, so this offseason.
Okay, right. So it'd kind of be like what this Diggs situation is in Houston. Where,
yeah, you can kind of formulate the contract. Right. I will say he is 31 years old. He'll be turning 32 by the end of the season.
Yeah.
So
in a way, he's kind of a rental, but doesn't have to be, depending on the situation he goes to. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of depends, again, on your team's cap hit. If the Saints have enough cap space to keep him next season.
Which, I mean, you could always work stuff around and all that.
In terms of
their 2025 draft capital that they have, they don't have a ton. They have a 1, a 2, a 3, 4, 5, and a 6. They don't have any extra capital, nothing crazy.
Anything in 2026?
just add a seventh. That's it. So they really don't have any extra capital. I know that is why the Bills have been thrown in here a lot, and that is because they do have the two twos and two fours if they wanted to kind of get involved in this. I will say, though, and this kind of where we want to take the show a little bit today, 803-0550, number to call. Do you even really want to see the Bills add a receiver at this point, you know, on October, what, 2nd?
Yes.
You know, we're heading into week 5. Do you even want to see the Bills add a receiver? I tweeted out yesterday, Josh, we've been talking about it today off the air. If I were to add a receiver for the Bills right now, I would probably want Amari Cooper.
If he were available. I'm in the same boat as you there because, I mean, Amari Cooper is the cost-effective version of Davante Adams. And not to say that I would, you know, if I had the option, I would choose Davante Adams because he's just got that
he's better
pop and he's got that ability. But Amari Cooper, as I said, is just him, not as good, but does the same job, and it would only cost you a fourth or a fifth, potentially, depending on what the Browns want. Because the Browns are a completely different animal. I mean,
yeah,
you have to look how their season's going too. I mean, the Browns are.
We also don't even know if he's available.
Right. But I mean, it felt like he kind of was, but not really. It's a weird situation there. It's not like he's came out and said he wants to trade. It's not like the Browns have come out and said they're going to trade him.
No, but the very weird. We're going to completely kind of wreck your contract to the point where a team taking him out would be $600K.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's he would literally be the Bills' cheapest wide receiver on the roster.
He'd probably be one of the cheapest players on the roster.
Yeah. So, and yes, I know he leads the league in drops so far this year. I think he has 8 through 4 games, which is not great.
Look who's throwing him the ball.
But look who's throwing the ball. I would not be surprised if he was sort of checked out. I also wouldn't be surprised if getting traded to a team like, let's say, Buffalo or New York or New Orleans or, you know, any of these teams that are being thrown
Kansas
out there.
City.
Kansas City. Any of these teams that are being thrown out there, I feel like that would be a sort of like, all right. Let's go. Like, I'm going to be a main factor.
That's a pump up for sure. And I mean, especially when you look at the Browns being 1-3 and how bad they've looked in that 1-3.
And it's not getting any better.
It should honestly be 0-4.
It's not going to get any better. I don't know when they're going to bench Deshaun Watson. It has to happen soon. I actually do think I've had this conversation, I think, with Sneaky Joe of just like, it's probably more likely they fire Kevin Stefanski first. Than actually benching Deshaun Watson because of how much money they've put into Watson. They've essentially, you know, for lack of a better phrase, sold their soul to get him.
Yeah. Right.
I think they would fire Stefanski first. And yeah, I think Joe has brought this up and like try to go get like Bill O'Brien at Boston College to try to bring him back from do his Houston days.
That to me, though, and obviously your other options are Jameis Winston and Dorian Thompson Robinson.
Jameis Winston, baby.
It's not great there, but you have somewhat of a proven success with Jameis Winston. Like
I'm all in for Jameis Winston.
I am too. I mean, Deshaun Watson, not only is he a bad person, but he is not good at football.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't look good out there anymore. And I just think that if you're the Browns, yes, obviously you gave all that up to go get him, but at some point you're going to have to bite the bullet and just say, you know what? It's over. It's not going to work. Let's just move on. And, you know, again, Watson's not a great person, but he was a great quarterback at one point.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of the Browns being good with this receiver group and with this offense they have was definitely there. But through 4 games, Watson has shown you that he is not what he used to be. And that's another reason, like what you said, I think Amari Cooper is a kind of guy that might be a little bit checked out and maybe is creeping closer to the situation that Davante Adams is in, where it's, I want to get out of here. I want to go to a contending team that I can perform with. And again, that's kind of why I think he's just more of an under-the-radar pick for a team that might need a wide receiver like the Bills.
Yeah, it's just he is the one I'm most interested in. I think, namely, I would say almost for 2 reasons, but they're kind of the same. One, it's going to cost you very little, both on the cap and in draft capital to actually get him. I don't think you'd have to give up a player or what have you. But also, and to that point, you don't have to hemorrhage the future to contend now. I think this team has been very open, honest, and in everything they've done of building towards the future, building towards that next core that is going to take them into the next, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years with Josh Allen. I'd then rather them have, I think, the 9 draft picks they're going to have and all the cap space they're going to have next year and continue to build this roster forward. I am somebody that has been a big proponent of continue to add wide receivers in the draft because I think the wide receiver position has never been better, especially at the college level. I mean, you're looking at 17-year-olds on Alabama in Ryan Williams. I mean, like playing an active, great role on the team, and he's not even the only freshman wide receiver going off. Smith at Ohio State has been amazing. Jeremiah Smith, I think, is his name. Ryan Wingo at Texas. Nick Marsh at Michigan State. There are a number of these freshman wide receivers, and that's not even to just say this class coming out now. I would want the Bills to add another wide receiver. I heard Jeremy and Joe talking, too, this morning about how sort of the Keon Coleman stuff and how the draft board probably didn't fall their way. I think you can make that assumption based off them trading back, adding draft capital. They may have liked Keon, but knowing they could get him later or get him or Leggett or whoever later and they could trade back, I would argue, because we took that a call yesterday on the Bills have had terrible wide receiver luck in terms of the draft.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it be two, 3 years ago where four guys went right in a row, and it was like, okay, we got to take Dalton Kincaid. They may have loved Dalton Kincaid, but that may not have been their plan A. They may have been plan B or C. And then even, you know, in past years as well, just like it doesn't fall their way in terms of value, even getting a receiver there. But I think the Bills have shown they want to add more playmakers in the offense throughout the early rounds, whether it be James Cook in round two, Dalton Kincaid in round one, Keon Coleman in round two, in three consecutive drafts.
Yeah.
I think they are going to continue to do that. I'd much rather them do that than add a 32-year-old Davante Adams on potentially a one-year deal, or I'd even say an Amari Cooper at 30, 31 years old, even for, say, a fifth or sixth round pick and very cheap. My thing would then be, like, it better just be a one-year thing and then go and draft another young guy. Continue to build what you're building. I like what they're doing on the offense in terms of Yak, in terms of having more options for Allen to throw to rather than just Diggs and maybe Davis. Because I still think that was their biggest problem on offense the last 2 years. It wasn't that Diggs was a diva or drama. I read the Jeremy Fowler piece. I think a lot of it was just more too to the fact of the Bills kind of really wanted to get away from just he's the only guy we've got, and we need to spread the ball out more. We need to have more options for our quarterback to go to. I don't disagree with that philosophy at all. I think, again, I think they wanted to do that for a few years and just missed at wide receiver a lot.
I think also, too, obviously you brought up there, like with James Cook, Dalton Kincaid, and Keon in the past three drafts, of getting these playmakers. And we're seeing James Cook really come into that role this year. I mean, right through 4 weeks, mm-hmm. he's been a great running back in terms of production, in terms of touchdown. He had three touchdowns against Miami. I mean, he was the offense that game, right? And obviously it's not going to be like that every week, but at the same time, you're seeing this start to develop and start to become a viable option. Dalton Kincaid, mm-hmm. still out. The jury is still out a little bit on him. He's got basically the same numbers at this time last year that he did at this time this year that he did last year.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Keon Coleman's a rookie, so you don't know what you're going to have there yet. But the point there being is you're seeing them start to stock the cupboards, as you always like to say, mm-hmm. is you keep adding in these early rounds. And I don't think if you trade for an Amari Cooper, I don't think that stops you from doing that at all.
I agree.
But I also wonder, with all of the cap space the Bills cleared in this past season, obviously there's a lot of dead cap right
now.
Yeah,
I was going to say, are preparing
to clear.
Yeah.
It will clear this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if while they still add to these places, add to these, you know, younger groups, are they going to go out and get aggressive in free agency? Are they going to go out and get a 28, 29, 30-year-old wide receiver for a 1 or 2 year deal?
I would wonder if it's not a wide receiver they do in free agency. I have to look at the actual edge rush class.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think that might be somewhere where they go, namely due to the fact, I mean, look, you're looking at a Von Miller suspension,
mm-hmm.
4 games now. We'll see if there's an appeal or anything like that.
Right.
But he's already 35. And to be fair, up to this point, look, Greg Rousseau, week 1, great, 3 sacks. He has literally not registered another one since.
Right.
You know, Ed Oliver, you're not getting a ton out of him yet. I think that might be more what they go into the offseason of trying to get another edge rusher, like they did with Von Miller.
Yeah.
And like it was working before his torn ACL.
Right.
So I think that might be something they could try to do.
I think the other interesting point here is that, think last year at this time, it was, you know, you have Diggs, you have Davis, you have all of the things that the Bills had last year. And it was, hey, go out and get guys in the draft and just have them like waiting there until Diggs and Davis and all your offensive weapons are kind of aged out.
Mm-hmm.
And then these new young guys will be learning under them and bring them in. Now it's kind of the reverse where you're kind of bringing in the young guys and then, okay, go out and get 1 or 2 star veterans that will help prop up the young guys. It's
yeah.
it's almost the reverse of like you had what you want now. Like you already had it, but maybe it just wasn't the type of thing mm-hmm. that you wanted. And that's where I think, you know, if you read the Jeremy Fowler piece on ESPN, I think that's kind of what it became.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where you'll see maybe this offseason, like I said, if they go out and try to get a veteran wide receiver that can come in and maybe mentor a couple young offensive weapons.
Yep. Let's get connected to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll start today with Anthony on the line. Anthony, good morning. How are we doing today?
How you doing, guys?
Doing very well.
Von Miller, can he appeal that suspension?
I believe so.
Because in MLB, you're entitled to appeal and suspension, and you're allowed to play until your appeal is heard.
I don't think that's how it works in the NFL. I think once he's suspended. He can appeal it to bring it down games, but he can't appeal the suspension completely.
That's not right.
I mean, Anthony, thanks for the call. I don't really understand how it's not right. They suspended him. He can appeal it. But, yeah, until he is found innocent for the league,
right.
I
get what he's trying. I get what he's trying to say there. I know it, like it makes sense, but at the same time, it's how the NFL does it compared to the MLB. It's two different leagues with two different policies. Yeah. But at the same time,
and to be fair, I prefer the NFL's.
Yeah, because I mean, especially like if it's a performance in game stuff, like especially in the MLB, you have all the stuff with steroids. There's a reason why you would want the player to be out.
Yeah.
If he's doing those things, you want to find out if he's actually doing mm-hmm. those things, because he could really, you know, screw up a team and screw up a team season. So I get what he's trying to say there, but I don't know. I don't think that would work that way.
I think for my thing too is why would you want to push off what is likely going to be a suspension anyways?
Mm-hmm.
It's not right. going to be appealed and all of a sudden they're like, actually, never mind, zero games.
Right.
You'll just
right.
push off what will then, if your appeal works, two games maybe?
Right. And if it takes, you know, a week or two, then you're still at four games.
Or let's say we're still at four games, and like the NFL moves, which is at a snail's pace, he's suspended for the playoffs.
Right.
Because it took the entire season for the appeal to go through.
Yeah, no, I'm more than happy with, like, if he appeals it and it comes down a game or two, that's great. But if not, you know what? It's four games. And
it's in the early part of the season.
Yeah.
He's 35, cool, no wear and tear. If we're just looking at on-the-field stuff.
Honestly, too, if you know, if there is anything going on injury-wise, he's got 4 weeks off, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think there is, but at the same time, if there ever was, you know.
It's not the worst time for it to happen.
Right. And obviously, too, like with the whole situation there, I mean, that's been going on now, or it's almost been finished now at this point. So that's, you know, why it's not. The whole court case in terms of that stuff is not really in the news anymore because it's been already taken care of mm-hmm. and moved on. But if that was still going on, then, you know, obviously it'd be a different case.
Yep. Let's go to Marvin here on the line. Marvin, how are we doing this morning?
Oh, good morning, guys. I just heard the tail end of what you're saying. I was on the line with the fella. And, I don't know what the fella's calling about. Said it's not fair. If it wasn't his name, Von Miller, and he had the money, the guy would have probably been prosecuted in jail, got jail time. So, you know, that's what, in a nutshell there. But I was telling him, everybody's so concerned with receiver. Our defense is exactly what I thought it was. We played a tough opponent, and look at what happened. Look at what happened. Ed Oliver needs a stud next to him, not an old retread. We need some big, young men, you know, 325, 330-pounders that can hold their own in there. We were getting blown off the ball. It was, you know, on that – I watched that play five times, the first play of the game. Do you know if it was one finger touch, he would have still been a touchdown? You know that? Nobody touched that man. Nobody, not even a hand on him. It's sick. I'll tell you, Buffalo's defense is what I thought it was going to be. And, you know, you guys always think that I try to poo-poo the Bills. I love the Bills, man. You guys were a twinkle in your dad's eye when I was watching the Bills, and I love the Bills. But it just saddens me how they go about things. I don't think Brandon Bean's a good GM, and we need some studs on defense. The word for today is stud. We don't have studs. All right, brother?
All right, Marvin, thanks for the call. I mean, Baltimore is the only team that plays like that and is good. Derrick Henry is a freak of nature at running back at 6'3", 240 pounds, and the Bills have a ton of injuries that force him to stay in nickel. Yeah. I don't love the result of the game, and yeah, the 87-yard touchdown run, Marvin is right on that fact. No one touched him.
Yeah.
I also have no idea how many other teams can play like that, honestly.
Right. I mean, especially because you look at, like you said, what Derrick Henry can do, and also the fact that you also have Lamar Jackson, who's basically another running back.
Yeah, like
there.
Their running game is filthy.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know how many other teams can actually perform like that. And again, I think this is also a big thing. Let's not overreact to a single game. I kind of fell into this too of the first three games of like, man, all right, here we go. Like they're, you know, right. Jamarcus Ingram, Cam Lewis, what have you. Their backups eventually look like backups. They did. I think Joe put out the PFF scores today for the defense. It was a lot of the backups that were on the low end for the defense. They're getting healthier. We'll see about today in terms of Terrell Bernard and Taron Johnson. That's also how a lot of NFL defenses are built nowadays. It's smaller and faster. Derrick Henry is an outlier. I would also say, with that word of the day, outlier, would be Baltimore. There's not many other teams that can play even remotely like them, and less so to the ability that they can.
Yeah, I mean, you could have looked at the schedule this season before the games even started and just picked out teams and said, yep, that one, that's going to be a tough game because that team is, in its own right, just has something that's unstoppable.
And, I mean, and just different from everybody else.
Right. Like you can do that with a few different teams in the Bills schedule. Like maybe before the season, you could have looked at Jacksonville and said, hey, maybe if Trevor Lawrence comes in and he's Trevor Lawrence, that could be an issue. But you look at Baltimore and their outliers are Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. You look at Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes, obviously. Like there's teams on everyone's schedule that are just, they have that extra oomph of, man, that's going to be a really tough game regardless of how well we are playing.
Yeah, and look, I don't want to defend the Bills. I mean, they were blown out.
Right.
As close as they were making that game, they really weren't.
They
never felt like they were in control.
If they would have got the touchdown on the trick play drive,
yeah,
then it would have been a different story. But ultimately, obviously, sure. They don't.
Ultimately, for me though, it was you know, your weaknesses in the middle of the defense with the injuries to the linebackers. I mean, your two starting linebackers are not there and have not been there for a few weeks now. And yeah, you had to stay in nickel with a lot of backup players on your defense because that's really all you had left. I do still think it's an outlier game. That's why I'm not freaking out yet, even though they were blown out. We'll see about the Houston game though. We'll see how that goes. Houston is a different offense compared to Baltimore. They do not run the same offense. We'll get more of a word on that at 11 o'clock when John Harris joins the show, sideline reporter for the Houston Texans. But got to take a quick time out here as coming up, we will talk to our own Sal Capaccio as the Bills get ready for this week and get ready for the Houston Texans on Sunday. Zach Jones, Josh Mitt, still taking your calls, 803-0550, the number to call. This is WGR.
This goes back to an alleged incident last fall. Von Miller was accused of assaulting a pregnant woman, which is a third-degree felony. Von Miller turned himself in to police in November and has told reporters that he is innocent. And he has also told reporters that, to his knowledge, the case was resolved legally. Meanwhile, the NFL continued to investigate and yesterday came back with his verdict. So Von Miller now officially suspended 4 games for this incident.
A report there on the Von Miller suspension. 4 games came down yesterday for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy. For more on that and everything going on this week, we go now to the Wester Hotline as Sal Capaccio joins the show. Sal, good morning. How are we doing today?
Pretty good, guys. Good morning to you. Oh, sorry about that, guys. There you go. I got you. Good morning to you as well. I'm doing well.
So right away on the Von Miller stuff, we did just take a call in the last segment. Not 100% sure how the appeal process goes in the NFL, just off the top of my head, but I'm assuming Miller could appeal the suspension if he wanted to.
I believe he can, yes. I'm not sure if we've, where we are with that, if he's going to. Right now it's a 4-game suspension. The Bills did release a statement yesterday saying he was being suspended and eligible for reinstatement after the game against the Seattle Seahawks. So there's been nothing from the team or Von Miller yet about any sort of appeal.
Mm-hmm. And then on that point, too, as well, they do bring in a player on the practice squad. We all kind of were waiting for the corresponding move as Zion Logue gets signed off of the Atlanta Falcons practice squad. So we're all kind of like, all right, well, he has to go to the 53. What next? This seems to be the move. What do we know about Logue, though? He's a 6th-round rookie this year for Atlanta.
Yeah, listen, anytime a guy is plucked off a practice squad who is a rookie and was a draft pick that year tells me the Bills must have had, pretty good, they must have liked him in the pre-draft process, right? They probably liked him leading up. He was drafted by Atlanta. He was ultimately released. He was signed back to their practice squad. So that's the Bills will still have 10 defensive linemen. They dressed all 10 last week. We'll see if that continues. But no more Von Miller, obviously, for four games. And then Zion Lowe gets added to the defensive tackle group. So you have five defensive ends, five defensive tackles, you know, going forward for the next, you know, four games at least. But we'll see, you know, how it shakes out, if he's ready to play right away. They do have to put him right on the 53, as you said. They can't put him on the practice squad. So he's either got to play or be inactive on game day.
And now with the Miller suspension, it does feel like, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but it kind of feels like, all right, Javon Salmon, let's see what you got. I mean, what have you seen from him so far this year, and then even going back to training camp?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that, you know, now's a chance for Javon Salmon to be a part of that rotation. I think Casey Tuhill's played pretty well at times as well this year. You know, thankfully, Dewan Smoot is healthy now and playing after he missed the first two games. Obviously, they have Greg Rousseau and A.J. Epenesa, and Salmon is the last guy there that you put into the mix as a rookie who I think he's done pretty well. Now, he hasn't had a lot of opportunity, but the first game he played after missing a couple there, he had a couple nice plays against the Jacksonville Jaguars, and you know, I liked what he did in camp and in preseason against the run, because I didn't think that was a very strong part of his game coming out of college. He was really just a kind of a pure pass rusher. So I think the fact that he's kind of done a little bit more in that area as well is pretty encouraging, and you know, shows you that maybe he can be a part of the rotation.
So Sal, with this week starting up and obviously all these other moves going on, what else can we expect to see from the Bills with practice today? I mean, I know Terrell Bernard practiced at the end of the week last week in a limited form. Is there anything you saw there last week that would indicate maybe a bit of a ramp up in this week and maybe even play in Houston this weekend?
Yeah, we'll see how much more he does. He is expected to be out at practice again. That would make sense since he was there last week. What I liked last week, Josh, was he was using both arms fully extended for different things. He was catching the ball above his head. He was punching the ball out with his left arm and his right arm, shedding the blocks with a sled and pushing it down with his right and his left arms. Those things matter when you're coming off a pectoral injury, right? So I think that very encouraging on that front. It would be great if the Bills could get Terrell Bernard back against Houston. But we'll see how the week goes. I doubt we'll get like definitive answer from Sean McDermott. Unless, I mean, he could rule him out again, right? He could come up and say he's not going to play this week. But we'll see. The fact that this is his second week back, I'd be surprised if he did that today. I don't think he'd say he's going to play this week either. You definitely want to see how he gets through the week before that happens. Taron Johnson's the other one. He has not returned to practice yet, but maybe today. We'll see if that happens, and then we'll see. And again, McDermott could come out at noon and say he's not playing this week. So a lot of things we'll find out in about an hour and a half from now when Sean McDermott speaks to the media. Khalil Shakir is working through an ankle injury he hurt early on in that game in Baltimore, so we'll see what his status is for the rest of the week this week. We know Josh Allen got banged up a little bit. McDermott said he'll be fine. He's sore. And then the other one to monitor is obviously Taylor Rapp, who didn't even complete the game on Sunday. He's in concussion protocol, so obviously there are steps that have to be taken for him to be available on Sunday.
Sal, on Khalil Shakir, obviously does pick up that ankle injury. There was a lot of kind of, let's see what's going on, how is he doing, the whole thing. And eventually, you can see on the TV broadcast, he's getting his ankle taped up and what have you. What did you see, though, once he came back in? It seemed like he really, after that happened, he maybe didn't even get a target. That seemed to be when Keon Coleman emerged for the Bills. There wasn't too much offense, though, to speak of. But I will say, though, Sal, just you know, at this point, while I like what the Bills have done with their wide receiver room, and we're, you know, spoiler alert, we're going to ask you about some wide receiver trades potentially, because that's been the talking point in the NFL, but I'm very nervous how this offense is going to look if Khalil Shakir can't play against Houston or even is sort of hampered by this ankle injury.
Well, I do think it impacted him on Sunday. You know, we all know he's he's a really tough dude, right? I mean, every game he's getting banged around. Yeah, he just hit. I mean, it's the way he plays, but he gets back up, and you know, he's just kind of a guy that catches the ball in traffic, and he's not the biggest dude. He takes some big shots. This one wasn't even a big shot. It was just he got rolled up on a little bit on a tackle. I do think it impacted him the rest of the game. I don't think that, you know, that was the one reason why the Bills couldn't move the ball effectively. He did have that big catch a little bit later in the game. I just think it was a lot of circumstances that led to how the Ravens were playing, did a nice job against the Bills. But I do think it impacted him. But he did finish the game. That's important to know. And we'll see how it goes this week. It doesn't mean, I mean, he could be a lot better this week, or it could be something that, you know, once the game is over and you evaluate it more, maybe it's worse than you think. So a lot's going to be determined over the next couple of days. We'll see about that. And then, you know, I wouldn't worry too much about the rest of the season or going forward, unless there's really a lot more there that we didn't know about because he played through it on Sunday. But, you know, today will be a big day. And even if he, let's always remember, it's Wednesday. Even if he doesn't practice today, which is possible, we'll find out again in an hour and a half. You know, tomorrow's the bigger day for that. For guys who don't work on Wednesdays, if they don't get two practices in, then you start to think that, okay, maybe they're not available.
So obviously the Ravens and the Texans are very different in terms of defense and things like that. But if Shakir was to be, you know, limited, still playing, but maybe not fully up to speed or not playing at all, what do you think the Bills would try to do to, like, basically fill in for him? Do you think it'd be a guy like MVS or maybe a Curtis Samuel? How do you think they would combat that if it progresses?
Well, I don't know if they have to do too much different, Josh, because everybody kind of plays anyway, right? Like, there's not guys sitting. Yeah, well, there's not guys sitting on the bench who aren't getting snaps. You know, I think we can say Curtis Samuel needs to play more, and that's for sure. Like, I'd like to see him. Joe Brady said he's got to find more snaps for him. He's got to get the ball in his hands more. I think that's a different discussion, though, about, you know, replacing. You know, if they were to replace, if something were to happen, if Khalil Shakir couldn't play, then you have to go to the practice squad. Then you're looking at Tyrell Shavers or KJ Hamler. I think that, you know, because you're not going to the game with four wide receivers, but if he can play, then I expect to be out there. And if his snaps are limited, then I just think everybody else who's already getting those snaps just kind of elevates a little bit.
So Sal, sticking with the wide receiver conversation here, and this is again, more of just kind of the conversations over the last 48 hours, Davante Adams, but like says he wants a trade. I guess how it was worded is he prefers to be traded, which just to me feels like extra steps. But to me right now, I'm almost not even focusing on Adams potentially even winding up on the Bills. I don't even know if the Bills want to make a trade for a wide receiver. I think they do like the room they have. I'd also just, you know, for transparency, I'd like them to continue to go young in the draft, what have you, or if they did get a guy like Amari Cooper. But to me, Sal, it feels like Davante Adams like is going to be a Jet. Like it feels like what we've always been building towards. The Jets have not been good on offense outside of their game against New England. It feels like we're going to wait to the trade deadline, and then we're going to get the breaking news, you know, and we're going to get the really, you know, rose-colored glasses tweet from all the reporters, and he's a Jet. It feels like that's where we're going.
So right before I went on with you guys, Adam Schefter reported that the two teams high on Adams' wish list of places to land, if not at the very top, are the Jets and the Saints, his two former quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers and Derek Carr. Yeah, I agree that this is something that the Jets will probably really want to do. This is an all or nothing year for the Jets, right? I mean, like it's like, hey, we either make the playoffs and break the drought or we're all getting fired. It feels like that, right? With Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas and that regime, front office, coaching staff, everything. Well, you have a 40-year-old quarterback. He doesn't have much time left to play. They're already, you know, maxing out as far as trying to help him as much as possible or bring in guys that he wants to play with and Alan Lazard. And, you know, they've traded for Hassan Reddick, and that thing went south with everything going there. This is a move that the Jets probably would have no hesitation on making if they can make it. The question would be fitting him in financially, making the deal work as far as a compensation. Same thing with the Saints, obviously, who never met a contract they didn't like and couldn't work around, right? I mean, the Saints are a team that just does this. It's what the Saints do all the time. And then Derek Carr is there. That's who we played with, obviously, when Derek Carr was in Las Vegas, and their former college teammates as well. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if that was a team that he wound up with. As far as the Bills are concerned, I just recorded an Always Game Day in Buffalo, a quick 12-minute one. If people want to go and listen to that, I give a lot more full thoughts on this. It's where audio and obviously is Sal Sports on YouTube. You can check it out. The Cliff Notes version is, it's a fascinating discussion for me because the Bills have intentionally gone away from having this type of player, right? They traded Stephon Diggs because they didn't want a 30-year-old wide receiver who's carrying a big salary and commands a lot of targets. Not in a bad way, but it's just when you have that player, you can't do the everybody eats thing. This is what they wanted. They wanted the everybody eats. They wanted to be younger. They wanted to diversify and have flexibility in the offense to throw it to anybody. That's not Davante Adams. That said, Davante Adams is one heck of a football player, and the Bills had trouble separating on Sunday night. So I do wonder. Now, financially, the Bills don't have the money to pay him. They don't have $13 million. That's what he's due the rest of the year. Every week that goes by, it's about $1 million less than it would cost you, okay? So let's say two more weeks from now, it's about $11 million it would cost for his base salary. The Bills still don't have that. You'd have to have the Raiders rework the deal, eat a lot of the money, and do like a sign-and-trade in the NBA. This would be more of a reworking trade, right? You'd have to have that happen. But for that to happen, it'd probably be even more of a cost for the Bills. They do have the compensation. They have a one, they have two twos, and they have a three next year. I just think it's a fascinating discussion.
Should be a lot of fun. Definitely is going to make the trade deadline exciting in the NFL. Sal, last thing here before we let you get out of here, get ready for Bills practice. Playoff baseball started yesterday. How are you feeling about the Yankees? Obviously, they don't play until later this week once the wild card rounds are wrapped up. But I am finding myself as a humble Angels fan who, by the way, the team just had their worst year in franchise history due to win losses. Just want to throw that out there. Otani's going to win NL MVP. I'm fine. I'm excited for playoff baseball. The Mets had a great game against the Braves. They won yesterday. Like I find myself getting excited for playoff baseball even when my favorite team is not there.
Playoff baseball is great.
Right?
It's intense. Man, that kid for the Tigers is amazing, the pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Scubla?
I believe how you say his name? It. I believe that's how it's
I mean,
pronounced.
Either way, he's amazing. He's incredible. Lefty, his first like 15 pitches were either strikes or an out yesterday. So I think it was 13 or 14 pitches. It was incredible. Anyway, intense baseball. I love it. So it's about the Yankees. I hate the fact that they have to wait 5 days, 6 days to play. They don't play until Saturday. That's mm-hmm. never good in baseball, right? It always seems like it's never good. However, the alternative is you play a 3-game series. You have one bad game, you could be out. Look at the Royals yesterday. They beat the Orioles 1-0. I mean, the Orioles couldn't hit in one game. Now they're on the brink of elimination because of that, right? Like, it's just so quick that if you just don't have a good one game, you can find yourself in a situation where, bam, you're out of it quickly. So I'm glad that they're obviously not playing yet, but I don't like the fact they have to make sure that they stay within rhythm and keep all your reps because the team they're going to play, Royals or Orioles, will have a few games under their belt. I do hope that game, that series goes 3 games because then you have to use more pitchers if you're those teams, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting. And then, of course, the Yankees have home field throughout the AL playoffs, which is great. But I just think that kid for the Tigers is really good. Watching him pitch is amazing.
By the way, Tarek Skubal.
Skubal. Skubal. There you go.
6 innings yesterday, 6 strikeouts, only 4 hits, and 1 walk.
Yeah, but I mean, listen, the first like 2-3 innings, I'm telling you, I think at one point he had 13 pitches and all were either strikes or an out. So he didn't throw a ball until like pitch 14 or something like that. I was watching it going, geez. Anyway, playoff baseball, though, is like every pitch is just intense when it's a close game. And I'm watching last night. I was out at an event last night, and the Mets and Brewers were on. I just kept thinking about Howard, right? Howard Simon, what he's going through watching the Mets in the playoffs.
Real quick, Sex, you did say you watched it, and it just reminded me.
Yeah.
This may show how little baseball I've actually been able to sit down and watch this year. When did this win probability thing pop up at the top of the scoreboard? Were you noticing that? I'm sitting there watching.
I think yesterday was the first time.
Yeah,
I think yesterday was the first time.
I did notice. It's the second inning, 3-0, and they're like, oh, by the way, the Tigers have an 85% chance of winning. I'm like, why would you broadcast that? Like a new
well,
fan. I, like,
well,
right.
why do you think they would? I will tell you why. Because of gambling.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about, guys. I mean, you put the win probability up. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe within a week, you're seeing that's brought to you by DraftKings or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and then, like, they're telling you to go and, you know, and then the odds of winning now, like, everything is just driven by gambling. I think that I would tell you that's probably a big reason they did it.
That's probably true. It threw me off so bad. I mean, obviously, I'm working as I'm watching, but I see it. I'm like, huh, okay. Yep. It's the second inning, but all right. All right, Sal, thanks so much for jumping on with us this morning. Have fun at practice. We'll talk again soon, man.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
That was Sal Capaccio there on the West Her Hotline. Got to fit in a quick timeout here. John, we'll get your call after that timeout. We've also got John Harris, the sideline reporter for the Houston Texans, coming up at 11 o'clock to get more of a look at Houston, who the Bills will be taking on Sunday. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Got to be quick here as we've got John Harris, Houston Texans sideline reporter, coming up after the next timeout. We go to the phones, and John is on the line. John, how are we doing today?
I'm good. I think Baltimore put a good blueprint on the Bills' offense, and adding a Amari Cooper, I think, would be a beneficial weapon going forward. The NFL is a copycat league, and I think adding an extra weapon would definitely help the outside wide receivers. I'll hang up and let you comment on that.
Thank you for the call, John. And yeah, I think just adding another guy on the outside would help the Bills because I really don't know how many the traditional outside guys they have. In terms of the Ravens putting a blueprint on the Bills, I don't know. Back to our first caller, I think a lot of it was just Baltimore is the perfect team against what the Bills' defense was currently, whether due to injuries or just flat out. I mean, because their other big blowout in the regular season did come against a Colts team that ran the ball a ton with Jonathan Taylor. So can understand it. But I don't know if it's really a blueprint. I think they're just a really good rushing team that went up against a Bills team that right now can't handle a rush, and I don't really know how many other teams in the NFL can do that. I know for a fact Houston really can't. We'll get more of an eye, though, on the Texans coming up here in just a few minutes, but Baltimore seems to be kind of a one-of-one team. Teams may want to do what Baltimore did. I don't know how many teams can actually do what Baltimore did. All right, got to take a quick time out here. Coming up after that, we've got John Harris, the sideline reporter for the Houston Texans. That's coming up after a quick time out. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.